Rabbi Say, hopefully some of you still have your sheets. From last week, we're going to finish that, and we're going to start the Halachas of Harpokus. I hope to be able to cover that this week. And Mirz Hashem, next week, I'd like to discuss the calendar, Vestas, and I'd like to discuss Chafifa, the process of preparing, the Isha preparing herself for the mikvah. Again, before we start, I wanted to mention another thing. After Pesach, we do have someone who is going to be giving Hilchos Nidah Shiurim for the women, but I do need to know from a consensus of people what night would be good for the women. Some people say Sunday night, some people say Tuesday night. Absolutely not Sunday night. Some people Sunday night, not Tuesday night. We would like to know consensus. We would be able to reach as many people as possible. What? It's one of two people. I don't want to say one or the other.
Very good people.
Very good people. It's a woman. Okay. We were up to on the sheets. If you kept the sheets from last week, some people gave them to me to hold on to, so I did hold on to a few. We're up to where we spoke about the process of a woman becoming a nida, and now we have to discuss the process of a woman being preparing herself to be b'tahira. Now, the first thing we have over here is the process of tahira, the Zayin Nikiyin. The Zayin Nikiyin must start with a hefsek tahira. Okay. The Hefsek Tahara is absolutely ma'akid. Okay? Now, when we talk about this Hefsek Tahara Bedika, the women of course know, but the Hefsek Tahara Bedika is the most chomer dika Bedika. In fact, the Hefsek Tahara is, the woman has to go, the churim, the sadokim, all cracks and crevices to be able to find if there's any residue of dam or any dam that's there. The woman cannot start the process of the Zayin Nikiyin, cannot start the process of Tahara. This Hefsek Tahara should be done before Shkia in the afternoon. If there was no blood that day, or there had been any blood, b'dieved, a person could do a bedika in the morning, and that could, the morning that could function as a Hefsek Tahara. Now, I'd like to explain, first of all, that the Hefsek Tahara, by circumstance, generally is done not earlier than after the fifth day of having done. That's the reason why that is the case. Is because, for two reasons. First of all, generally a woman bleeds for at least 4 to 5 days, and she's not going to be able to become clean until the fifth day. However, the Hefsek Tahara does not necessarily have to be done then. That means that the Hefsek Tahara, as long as a woman has stopped seeing dam, okay, she can make a Hefsek Tahara b'mafsik b'tahira. But the Zayin Nikiyin cannot begin before 5 calendar days. It's very clear. Before 5 calendar days, and we're going to go through it very, 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 very simply. 5 calendar days have passed from the onset of her period. Okay? This is if she was b'tahira when she got her period. In other words, if a woman was mutter to her husband and she gets her period, when whatever time of day she gets her period, that calendar day is day number one. If she sees dam on Mitzvah Shabbos, day number one is Sunday. If she sees dam on Sunday morning, day number one is Sunday. If she sees dam 4 seconds before Shkia on Sunday, day number one is Sunday. Okay. Now, she has to count 5 days. Okay, day number one is Sunday. Let's now a scenario. Day number two is Monday. Day number three is Tuesday. Day number four is Wednesday. Day number five is Thursday. Generally, a woman will attempt to make a Hefsek Tahara Thursday afternoon before Shkia. If she stops seeing dam on Tuesday, she could really make a Hefsek Tahara on Tuesday. However, she is not allowed to start Zayin Nikiyin under most circumstances until 5 calendar days have passed. This is based on the Sugya HaShas, of a Perleta Shechva Zera. We don't have to get into the details, but if she was mutter to her husband, the woman can't start Zayin Akiyin until she has no longer has any viable Zera within her from her husband. And if there's any possibility that they were together right before she had Dam, so there's always the possibility that there's Zera there. And that Zera, as long as it's not quote-unquote dead Zera, it's viable Zera, so then she cannot start the process of Zayin Akiyin, of the Tahira of Zayin Akiyin. Now, there are scenarios, LaMarshall, where Hefsek Taira is the day she sees Dam. Right? What scenario would that be? LaMarshall, she's in the middle of her Zayin Akiyim and she sees Dam. Right? That night she makes another Hefsek Taira. That's the first day. After the first day. She was usher to her husband. Since she was usher to her husband, there's no problem with starting her Zayin Akiyim, starting right after that, because there's no question as to whether there's going to be a Perleta Shechva Zera. Now, there are certain scenarios. In other words, the whole idea is if she became neither when she was mutter to her husband, so then there's this process, there's a time of 5 days, okay? The cheshbon of 5 days is a little bit complicated. There will be scenarios where 4 days will be okay, right? Everybody experiences once in their life, of course, 4 days. We all know that a kala, when it comes to Dam Besulim, so the Chacham were not makbid on 5 days, it was 4 days. Okay? There are scenarios where it could become mutter, and this is a very important thing to speak to your Marah Hara about in a scenario, a marshal where let's say you're in the country, and you're very far away from a mikvah, right? And the fifth night comes out, if she counts 5 days before she starts Zayin Akiyim, so let's say, LaMarshall, she saw Dam on Monday. So you have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday Eve, it'll come out that Friday night she's going to the mikvah. So if she's very, very far away, if you're very far away from a mikvah, it's not possible. There are, in such scenarios, depending on the situation, the person, of course, has to consult with their Rav, they would be able to make a Hefsek Taira, if it's possible physically, to make it Thursday night, so she can go to the mikvah Thursday night, you're counting that it's 4 days. There are such scenarios, there are certain times, if something like that comes up, someone should also definitely speak to their Rav. Another issue which comes up in terms of this Hefsek Taira we explained, that this whole process of 5 days is when the woman is going to be mutter to her husband, at the time she saw Dam, she was really mutter to her husband. There are certain scenarios where a woman is usher to her husband, right? And at the point when she got her period, let's say the day before she was usher to her husband, there might be certain scenarios, there might be certain ways that there can be, one could be makel, and Taka only wait 4 days to start designing the Nikiyim process. Lemoshel. A person is in Avelos, right? So relations between man and wife are usur. If that day was the Yom HaVest, okay? Or the Ayna Beinus, which we'll talk about next week, it was an Ayna where she was usur to be with her husband. So it could be that in certain situations that the requirement of 5 days will be relaxed. But generally, okay? Generally, the woman will practically make Hefsek Taira after the fifth calendar day. There is a very good reason why it should be done this way. And I'll tell you why. Because, and I'll tell you a story, a frightening story. I know that I've told the story before, but there was someone who learned the halachas of Nida, and I hope this is not going to be a chiddush to anyone. But we all know that one needs Zayin Akiyim. We'll go through the process of Zayin Akiyim in a moment. But the issue needs 7 clean days, okay? Which means that after 7 complete clean days, she can go to the mikvah. Okay? Now, there was someone who learned Hilchos Nida, and he was a bit confused. And for probably 10 to 11 years, his wife was going to mikvah after 6 complete days. He thought that the 7th day, she was allowed to go to the mikvah. 7th night, she was allowed to go to the mikvah. Now, an easy way... Now, so what do I say? What does this have to do with anything? Because it was a terrible mistake, because the reason is because there's a shash that she's a zava, and he needs Zayin Akiyim, just like a Zav needs Zayin Akiyim. It's a terrible story that I just related. But the fact is the following. A woman should, an easy way to remember what night a person has to go to mikvah is the last successful Hefsek Taira that a person has. When they had that Hefsek Taira, so that Hefsek Taira, let's say, was before Shkia Thursday, the next week, that same day at night, meaning Thursday night, will be 7 complete days. So that's a very good reason to make the Hefsek Taira after 5 days, which will be 7 days before she's able to go to the mikvah, 7 complete days before she's able to go to the mikvah. So in our scenario, a woman got mikvah.
We got the 4 days. It's literally 7 days. It's hard to remember.
No, it's not true. Because if a woman has to wait Zayin, no. If a woman makes it after 3 days, but she has another 2 days to start Zayin Nikiyin. Because we have to wait 5 days. The waiting for 5 days is not a waiting for the Hefsek Tyra, really. It's a waiting to start Zayin Nikiyin. So if a woman goes and she'll make Hefsek Tyra after 3 days, she might get confused as to what day she really can start her Zayin Nikiyin. So therefore, it's the ideal thing, the better thing. You might forget. Now, the Hefsek Tyra is absolutely ma'akim. One cannot start Zayin Nikiyin without the Hefsek Tyra. Okay? Now, this must be done, the Chatzilah, one should do this before Shkia of that. And so in our scenario, a woman got a period on Sunday, so Sunday's day one, Monday day two, Tuesday day three, Wednesday day four, Thursday day five. She should do the Hefsek Tyra, she has to do this Bedika, Bechurim, Besadokim, before Shkia, before nightfall, before sunset of that the night, which is 7 days before she would go to the mikvah. What happens if, and this is a very common shaila, especially in the winter, woman forgets, this is one of the reasons why it's a good idea on the day when she's going to make a Hefsek Tyra, so just in case, make a bedika in the morning, if she hasn't seen dam that day, to make a bedika in the morning or early in the day, even though she's going to plan on making a Hefsek Tyra later in the day, just in case she's going to forget. But let's say a woman makes a bedika after Shkia, by mistake. She waits too long, okay? Now, there's a chuvus for Moshe. There is wiggle room. There is a time after Shkia that if your wife made a bedika after Shkia, there is a certain amount of time. I'm not going to go into it right now. Again, this is not something you should rely on. L'chadchila should make bedika before Shkia, before sunset. But if she made it afterwards, it's not all is not lost. Speak to your Mara Hira. That's exactly the situation that happened.
The bedika in the morning helps?
Yes. If she has in mind, what's it? If she has in mind, absolutely. Now, what I say that the Hefsek Tyra is absolutely marked. This is this is very negated to another situation. Sometimes a person can have a makav. Sometimes a person can have a makav by some makav, and you should have a makav by some makav. So during Zayin Nikiyin, you know that there's a makav that's mighty dam that causes blood. So we can be tailored the makkah, and sometimes you can even look at the bedika call of the person, can look at it and see that there's an inconsistency in the bedika. The bedika seems to have one color, and then there's a spot of blood. And the person could see, and many times I'll ask you, this has happened to this day, in the past couple of weeks, it's happened maybe 4 times, where a person, you see the bedika, it doesn't look quite right. Then he asks the husband, does your wife have a makkah, buy some makkah, and she should check, and if there's a makkah, that's mighty dumb. So we can be tailored that during the Zayin Nikiyin, if it's actually bad, then mighty dumb, if there's a makkah. The only time you cannot do this is a Hefsek Tyra. Hefsek Tyra must come out absolutely clean. Hefsek Tyra doesn't come out clean, even if you know that there's a makom, why is a makom? And the host can talk about the woman who has a problem, she has tzitzis, why is a makom? So she can never get clean. There are certain eitzes to bypass them, bypass it if it's nageya. This person should certainly ask your own. If you want to discuss it, I can discuss it with you later. Now, the second thing, B, over here is the maif dachuk. A maif dachuk is after this Hefsek Tyra, bedika, in order to make sure that the woman starts her Zayin Nikiyin absolutely with absolute clean of dam nida, there's a process called the maif dachuk. The maif dachuk is again a bedika cloth that's put into isa makom and left there the entire ben hashmashes so that there's no chash that during ben hashmashes any dam was seen. It is a good process. It talks about how a person should always use a maif dachuk. There are certain times when a maif dachuk is actually absolutely ma'akev too. Okay? If a woman has seen dam that day and she doesn't use a maif dachuk, many poskim, like the grah, hold that it's ma'akev and that's tari, and she has to make another hafsekari the next day. So that's something that someone should, unless it causes some sort of an irritation, a person should speak to the marahira to find out there are certain times when it's not advisable to use a maif dachuk. But generally speaking, the maif dachuk is the proper procedure. Okay, and that's left in during the entire Benish Masjid by Benish Masjid for about 45 minutes and taken out to see if it's clean. It's very important when you bring a bedika to identify which bedika, okay, it is from. There are different kulas. The Hefsek Tyra bedika is the most chomer. Given it's the most chomer, there are certain chomers in terms of the color that will render it no good. And the Machtokok actually is more calm than the Hasekhtar, and the other Vedikas are even more calm. See, in the Zion Nikiyim, they have to they begin after the successful Hefsik, and after the fifth calendar day, as I put over here, that you need both. The Zion Nikiyim can only start after a Hefsik, and after the fifth calendar day. Okay? And we covered all those things that are parenthetical. A woman, lechatchila, has to make two daily bedikas during Zayin Nikiyim. One in the morning, one in the afternoon, evening. Okay? If the bedikas are missed, and bedi'evid, okay? Bedi'evid. Lechatchila, a person should make two bedikas, the woman should make two bedikas a day. Okay? Now, if you look in the Ramah, if a woman made a bedika on day one and day seven, so bedi'evid, if that's the case, if she only made that, that's going to be okay. Let's say she missed one of those days. If she missed one of those days, if you look at the Ramah, she cannot go to the mikvah. Okay? Don't take that Ramah as absolute halacha. If in such a situation, you must ask a shayla. Okay? One of those days. There are going to be certain areas where we're going to be able to be making this Baruch HaShulchan. But, if she missed all the bedikas the whole week, that's it. She has to do another Zayin Nikiyim. Okay, that's a very big problem. In this ma'aseh, did you have it? There was a woman who taka had the flu. She went. She made a hefsek tayra, and mamish a whole week she was in bed. She couldn't move, and came the seventh after the seventh day. What she supposed to do? There was no bedikas the whole week. She needs another zayin nikiyim. Okay, of course the woman must wear white undergarments. Now. Yeah, but it was 7 days away from the first time. It's too much rest. Maybe we'll talk about investment system. Good point, but we can't. We need another whole thing. Okay. Rabbi Sayyid, if you look into Shulchan Aruch, it seems very clear that during Zayin Nikiyim, a woman has to have white sheets, white bedclothes, okay? Now, there's a shayla in the Paiskim, since the whole idea is to be able to catch if there's any dam. So let's say she wears white underwear. Okay, she wears white, tight-fitting underwear, not the boxer type of underwear, but a brief type of underwear that's close against her skin. Most Paiskim discuss that this is okay, and you don't need white sheets and white bedclothes if she goes to sleep all the time that way, because it's impossible, physically impossible for the dam to go anywhere else except for on these white undergarments. Of course, the idea of the white undergarments is not to close your eyes, that we discussed about when a person goes to the bathroom and when a woman makes an external wiping, but of course she has to check those undergarments. How much of dam will make Isha Nida if and cause a problem on undergarments? Not rhetorical. A graceful eye, very good. Okay. And the idea over here is, of course, to make sure that she's fully clean. After the seven complete days, she can go to the mikveh, and we discussed this. We'll discuss these halachos in the beginning. I want to discuss, I don't think we're going to be able to cover everything, we'll have to continue next week. I want to discuss the halachos, begin to discuss the halachos that are nageya to the harpokos, okay? And I believe that by next week, I don't think we're going to cover everything in the harpokos. I plan on printing up a sheet. I didn't have from last time the sheets on harpokos, I'm not sure why. Maybe I never did it. I'd like to print up the basic guidelines, but I'd like to start with the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Zayin. With the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Zayin, talks about a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Suga Bashashanim, a gate, a fence of rose bushes. So the Gemara says, what is this talking about? Shafilu b'suga shel shoshanim lo yifritzu bohem tirtzos. Klal Yisrael, even if the fence is a bed of roses, Klal Yisrael does not breach that fence. V'hainu do'amalei ha'hu mina l'Rav Kahana. There was a min, when Apikoyra spoke to Rav Kahana, said, Amrisoi nida shari li'chudei b'hadei gavra. Is it mutter for a nida to be miyached with her husband? Is it possible to have a burning fire and it shouldn't consume? So Rav Kahana said back to him that the Torah is made on Klal Yisrael Suga Vashashanim. Sha'afilu Yisuga Vashashanim. Kisuga Vashashanim. Even if it's just a hedge of roses. La'yifritu bohen pirtzis. Klal Yisrael is not pirates gather. Klal Yisrael is not pirates gather even if it's just a bed of roses. So we said over before that what is the, why is the example, and right? Tosfos explains that this is talking L'inyan Damnida and the Shoshanim, or with whom I read Shoshanim, it calls one of blood. Why is it a bed of roses? Why are we discussing offensive roses when we talk about Harchakos? The Harchakos, the Hanhaga between Ish and Isha, between, in the times of Zay, in the times of when she's Asura Loi, she's the Nidasa. So he said over a verse from her Gifter, that it's really a very beautiful verse, and Hashkafically, it's something that we have to understand about the Harchakos. If you have rose bushes between you and your neighbor or a fence to stop you from going somewhere, it's really very easy to traverse. Not hard. You might get a little bit. You might get stuck with a little bit of some thorns, but it's really a flimsy fence. Move it over. It's really not hard. But what's going to happen is you're going to trample a little bit on the... You can step on it. You're going to trample a little bit on the roses, and what's going to happen is it's just not going to look so nice after you pass by, after you go over it. You step all over it. You're gonna mar the beauty of what the rose bush is, what the rose, the bed of roses is. So that is the harpa. That is descriptive of the harpakas. Person's alone, ish for isha, and a person recognizes that really all that's between him and his wife are halakas, the harpakas, some of that are the raisa, some that are the rabbanon. And a person, it's very easy for a person to traverse that, a person to be over on that. But if a person realizes that what he's going to be left with is something that's marred of its beauty, if a person realizes the beauty of initially Isha, and we spoke last week about how beautiful it is that a person has this Reim, this Ahuvim, there's times when we're so close with our wives physically, then there are times where a person has to step back. And that keeps the relationship fresh, it keeps the relationship alive, it keeps the relationship, it takes monotony out of the relationship, and it's taka, a beautiful bed of roses. And that's something that's a hashkafa that we have to understand, that the restrictions that Chazal put on us, that the Torah put on us, Peshas, Nidasa, are really things that are, that take the relationship to a different level on a monthly basis. But that's not to say that a person doesn't have to realize that this is a davar chomer ad mo'id. There's a beautiful aspect to the idea, how beautiful it is, and how a person can realize, you know, that there's certain harchakas that Chazal decided that, in their wisdom that are considered things that are l'mashal, that we would call romantic, right? And a person could think, you know, what is this? I pour a cup of soda for my wife. What is that exactly? It's not exactly a thing. But if it's asur or holzai nikim, and your wife comes back from the mikveh and you pour a cup of soda, it takes that pouring a cup of soda to a different level. That's a kurva. It takes every aspect of the relationship, and it can create a kurva between you and your wife, between husband and wife. But aside from that, a person has to realize not only the toiv in it, but that a person has to avoid punishment, avoid. And realize that it's a davar chomer. It's not only a beautiful thing, but it's a davar chomer ad ma'ir. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Gimel, tells us a ma'isa. Ma'isa b'talmud echad, sheshona harbe. He learned a lot. B'kora harbe. Didn't only learn Mishnayis a lot. He learned Chumash a lot. Learned Psukim, Mikra. V'shimesh talmidei chachomim harbe. He was mishamish many talmidei chachomim. U'meis b'chatzi yomov. He died very early. He died half his life, 35 years old. V'hoise ishtoi neitelos tefilov, his wife took his tefillin. U'machzirason lebatei knesiyos u'lebatei medrashos. She took his tefillin and she went to the Beis Medrash, the Batei Medrashos and the Batei Knesiyos. V'omra lahem, she said to the people, k'siv b'teira ki hu chayecha v'ayrech yamecha. Says, Teira is chayecha, your life, v'ayrech yamecha, your long life. Ba'ali sheshona harbe, zakara harbe, v'shimesh talmidei chachomim harbe, v'pneima meis b'chatzi yomav. Why did he die so young? V'lo hoya adam machzira, dovah. Nobody was able to answer her. Pam achas nisarachti etzla. And if you, the Gemara goes through, I don't have to read the whole Gemara. If you look it up, the Gemara Yud Gimel on Beis discusses how he was not makbid on the harchokas neither. And the Gemara says at the end, the Gemara says that they tell her, it comes clear from what she says that he weren't makbid on the harchokas, just the harchokas. And the Gemara ends saying, as Baruch Hashem, that since he wasn't makbid, that Itaka was meis b'chatzi yom. So this is not only a dover that brings the relationship to a different level, but it might appear to be a suga b'sheshanim, it might appear to be a bed of roses, but it's a very big dover chomer. So we have to know, and of course I hope nothing that we're going to say here is a chiddush, or maybe very little might be a chiddush, but we have to know that this is something that's a very big dover chomer, and we have to know that a nida is in the parasha of Arayas. The Isser nida, of course, we all know that having actual relations with a woman, b'shas nidasa, whether it be one's wife or not, is an iser kares, and that's of course a very big davar chomer ad ma'ayit. What about not actual relations? Not actual relations, but things that are called a davar shel chiba. Chazal call this chibuk v'nishuk, okay? Now, the Rambam is going to tell us that chibuk v'nishuk be'es nidasa is an iser d'araisa, it's an abizrayu d'arais. Okay? Abizrayu d'arais, which means that if the Yerik Bal Yavar, to be boiled in nida, is Yerik Bal Yavar. Is Yerik Bal Yavar over here, l'sikiku l'galas erbasa. Okay? The Rambam is chaylik, the Rambam holds that chibuk v'nishuk, with vorm shel chibuk, will be awesome with the rabbana, not with the raisa, but it's a dover chomer ad ma'oid. Okay? And this is certainly things that are absolutely usher. Chibuk v'nishuk, according to many poskim, according to the Chazon Ish, includes handshaking. Okay? Chazon Ish holds that the shaking hand of an isha, by definition, you're not doing it for chibuk. But it could be, l'moshel, kissing someone, right? Nobody's going to say that kissing b'shas nidah, or any of somebody else, is not, if I'm not interested, if there's no chiba, there's no real kurva, by definition, kissing is a kurva, right? One cannot say that kissing is not a davar shel chiba if one is not intending to have davar shel chiba. Okay? The Chazon Ish holds the same thing as true with a handshake. Now, there are certain kulos, and this is very negeya in the business world, okay? I'm not going to cover that over here, but it is something that a person has to be cognizant of in the business world. Now, in terms of the harchakas, we can really split the harchakas into many different categories. But I'd like to discuss, we're talking about Kiva Phoenishuk, we're talking about touching. Touching Ishvi Isha, of course, 100% is usur in the harchakas of Nidah. Person is not allowed to hand his wife anything. Lo yoshit, not allowed to be moshit a dover, even if it's a 10-foot pole to his wife, to hand her anything. Even if they'll never touch because of this, okay? Hoshata is 100% awesome. Now, let's say a person is sitting next to his wife in the car somewhere. Now we're not talking about something that moves that he feels or that feels. You're allowed to sit next to your wife. You know, of course, you're not allowed to sit there in a fashion where you're going to touch. Okay, you're not allowed to sit in the fashion according to the Aron Hashulchan. Absolutely awesome. Most places can agree. All places can agree. If your begadim will touch each other, the begadim, your begadim you're wearing and her begadim will touch each other, that is something that is usur. This is very negay if a person goes traveling. If a person goes traveling and has to fly, okay? So that's a very big, the person has to have in mind, right? You know, somebody once told me that when you travel, if you don't want anybody sitting next to you, you always, you know, I think now online, of course, if it's filtered, but online, a person can choose seats online. So if you choose a seat A and seat C, right? So odds are a person's not going to go in the middle, right? So you can end up with an extra open seat, unless it's a packed flight. But that's something a person has to have in mind. Basically, the person is going. What?
Doesn't work anymore?
I'm dating myself. I'm sorry. Right here. Oh. That's it. AJ is telling that his wife should fly first class and he should work. I cleaned that up for the day. Okay, Rabbi Sai. That's how he shot the sitting. Rabbi Sai. We have very little time. We're not getting anywhere. Okay, what about Zrika? What about throwing something to your wife? Well, we vice versa. Okay, the halacha is you are not allowed to be zayrek something kinegdecha, opposite you. Why? Because koychai kegufai. What about, but the halacha is very interesting if you listen again to Taisus and Azarek in Shabbos, throwing up. I don't mean throwing up. Throwing an object up. Okay, if you throw an object up, so then it's called not koychai, but it's koyach koychai. So over there, there could be at, and this is very negay, where a person, you're at a wedding, you're somewhere, you're talking about the car keys, right? Right? So what do you do with the car keys? You can't put it anywhere. So really, you could, in this scenario, you could throw them up, and she can catch them. Okay? But to hand them to her is 100% usur. To put them down on a table, okay, that's also 100% fine. Now, for some reason, people feel that this is, it's interesting, a future was written about kvata, okay? There's a major issue about handing a baby. Let me just get to that. Handing a baby, a little baby that's kafus, is 100% awesome. There is a pisket tshuva, kafus means that the baby cannot walk on their own. There is a pisket tshuva, which is an astounding pisket tshuva, which discusses the issue of chai noisei asatzmai. We know that a baby that can walk, or an adult that can walk, that matter if they're not sick and they're able to walk. So, la loka, there's something called chayna tzatzma. A live person carries himself. So if you hand it over, the pisket tshuva has a chiddush, he wants to say that such a child is mutter to hand over because it's not like you're carrying them. Now, most poskim absolutely 100% disagree because this is a concept in carrying, this is a concept in tiltil, this is a concept in did you move the object, right? But in handing over, it makes no difference what the identity has, if the object is nice as asking or not. Now, this brings us to the idea of, how does one hand the child to a spouse? So one doesn't hand the child to a spouse. However, if the child goes by themselves, this is a big kula, and this is many places can hold this way, and you could be simach on this. If the child goes by themselves to the other party, so that's not considered that you are handing over if the child can go and if the child, you put your hands out and the child goes to you, not that you're taking the child from the other person, that's mutter. Now the issue is brought in terms of kvater, right? For people, Baruch Hashem, people make sunchas, they ask their friend to be kvater, right? And kvater is that the wife gives the husband the baby and the baby brings the baby into the father of the baby to give to the sandik. Now, so there are those that wanted to say that it's an embarrassing thing, it's in public, so maybe the wife can hand it to her husband, but in public. Ramosha has a truth about this, and he discusses, he doesn't really understand what the embarrassment is. You know, the Gemara talks about Tichzika Isha, that she was in Nida B'Shchenta. The neighbors would know that she became in Nida. People with the people had specific clothes that they wore, and if they wore those clothes, they had a din of Anida, and there's a whole shashmuz whether a woman has nemanis to say she's not Anida in such a situation. It's hufsika, you shouldn't need the bishkanta. So he doesn't understand. It's a very normal thing. Sometimes a woman's Anida, sometimes a woman's not Anida. And therefore, he holds that there's no head to do such a thing. And for Busha, there's no such reason to do that. So, if a person is somewhat embarrassed, a person can do it in different ways. A person can throw it up. Throw the things up and a catch. Okay, we'll discuss that. I don't know why that was so funny.
Baby.
Oh, I was talking about the baby. I didn't say that. Okay, fine. Okay, don't spike it though. Fine. I was back with the keys. It's pretty funny.
Okay.
The baby. What? People decline very nicely. People decline very.
Shouldn't do that.
Okay. Now, should not be done. Okay. We'll go a few minutes. Now, what about carrying an object together? Okay. Carrying an object together is not mufurish in halacha. Okay. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this. Okay. By the way, included in moving a child is pushing a stroller together, pushing a carriage together is 100% usur. Okay, something that's a davar kal, that's easily carried by one person, two people carrying it by definition is some sort of a kurva, because it's not out of necessity. Now you're doing something, you're carrying something together. So Moshe has a tshuva about a very heavy object. Okay, something that's a very heavy object, you should not throw up. You should, something that's a very heavy object, to me that's funny. Ramesha has a tshuva. Ramesha's maker, where one cannot do it, do this alone. Where one cannot carry it alone. So this is a labor of labor and not a labor of love. So this is something that would be mutter. This is something that I spoke about before. This happens very, very often when a person's having company and they want to put the leaf in their table together. They want to put it into the table together. They can have company. They want to make the table bigger. So I don't really see the shaila here in the actual carrying of the leaf. Of course, that's your job. But in terms of opening the table, you need two people, right? Generally, unless you're very, very big and you have a big wingspan. So l'chayra, you're separating the table over there. There's no problem. And pushing it together also, l'chayra, is something that you cannot do without the other party. So l'chayra, that is 100% mutter.
What about holding your child's hand?
What are you holding?
Holding itself.
If the child could walk itself, you really shouldn't be doing it.
Well,
if the child wants to do that themselves, so that would be okay. Okay, but it's time to just like, you know. Certainly, when people walk in the street and they start carrying the child, they do that. That's 100% true. Okay.
Wow.
Okay, Rabbi said it's already 9:35. I think we're going to stop here. We'll continue with Mr. Shem next week, and hopefully we'll cover the best. We have to pray on the bread again. And Shmaya for Yassel for picking up the bagels.
Come on.